So great to be learning together. Share Oraz, Tshuva of the Week. And this week we're going to talk about an interesting issue. What if something is mutar for an Ashkenazi? Is the Sfaradi allowed to ask the Ashkenazi to do it? Something is mutar for a Sfaradi. Is the Ashkenazi allowed the Sfaradi to do it? And I'm going to use a specific example with a Temani minhag that the Ashkenazim and Sfaradim don't do, and that is reheat cooked liquids. Yemenites will reheat soup on Shabbat, even soup on Shabbat. Why? Because they follow the Rambam, and the Rambam famously rules that the principle of ein bishul achar bishul, once something's cooked, that's it. You can't cook it again. It's not considered to be cooking when you warm it up. Applies not only to salads, but liquids as well. And on that basis, Yemenite Jews will warm up soup for the Shabbat afternoon meal. And the question is a Ashkenazi Sephardic Jew allowed to ask a Yemenite Jew to heat up the soup for them? It would sound like something would be absolutely wonderful if this would be permissible. So this issue is dealt with in a very interesting article that appears in the 40th volume of Tchumin, of the Israeli Torah Journal. And it was written by a Talmid in the Male Adumim. It's a wonderful Yeshivat Hezder in Male Adumim. His name is Rav Gad. Let's see if I'm pronouncing his last name properly. Machter. I'm assuming he forgives me if I'm mispronouncing his name. And he lays out the opinions and the background beautifully. And let me present what he has to say, and I'm not convinced 100% about what he has to say. So first of all, he quotes that Rav Shalom Assas in Shelot Yeshivot Shemesh Magen Chelak Gimel Siman Yudalit actually writes that it's mutar. The Sfaradi can ask the Ashkenazi to do something that is permissible for the Sfaradi can ask the Ashkenazi something that's permissible for the Ashkenazi but forbidden for the Sfaradi. And the example that he uses is if you have soup that has cooled down to a temperature lower than Yad Soledet, lower than, let's say, 100, 115, 120 degrees, but it's not completely cooled down. So the Ashkenazi can still, under certain circumstances, return that soup to the fire. The Sfaradi may not. One of the examples with Ashkenazim are more mekel than the Sfaradim. So Rav Masas says it's actually permissible for the Sfaradi to ask the Ashkenazi to do this. Now, it's not going to come up that often, but he actually allows it, Rav Masas. Now, what's the basis for allowing it? So he bases himself on a very important halakha that appears in Shulchan Aruch. Say if one Jew accepted Shabbat early and another Jew has not accepted Shabbat early. So it's a husband accepted Shabbat early, wife has not. Sometimes that could be. And it's not necessarily automatic that the husband has, which is a separate topic. So let's say, or roommates. One roommate accepted Shabbat, the other roommate did not accept Shabbat. A little bit simpler example. So the one who has accepted Shabbat is allowed to ask the one who has not accepted Shabbat to do malacha, to turn off the dishwasher, something like to put something in the laundry. It's also a whole discussion by itself. So to turn on lights, these things are actually allowed. And Rav Masas quotes a group of prominent achronim, including the Mamar, Mordechai, Mishnah Brura, and the Shulchan Aruch, and others, who say the reason why this is permissible is because since fundamentally it's permissible for the person who has not accepted Shabbat, to him it's 100% permissible. So the one who has accepted Shabbat, he can ask the one who has not accepted Shabbat to turn on the light, because it's completely permissible for the person who has not turned off the one who has not accepted Shabbat to turn on the light. And you can certainly, even if you accepted Shabbat, you can ask someone who has not accepted Shabbat to turn on the light for you. So too, the Ashkenazi and the Sfaradi can ask the Temani, based on this, that he can warm up, he can put up ready fully cooked soup, put it up on Shabbat, and heat it up. and the Ashkenazi and the Sephardi can enjoy it. Says Rav, that's so rules Rav Masas. However, the Tzitz Eliezer does not allow this. This is Tzitz Eliezer, Shelot Tshuvot Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg. Chelek Yudchet, Siman Lamed Bet, in Sif Katan Dalid, where he says it's Asur. Why? What's his idea? He has a raya that is an interesting Magen Avraham. Someone, believe it or not, actually kept 2 days of Yom Kippur because of Safek. I never heard of people doing that today, but it does appear in the Shulchan Aruch that there are those who would do that. They're not allowed to eat after their Yom Kippur, someone who cooked on his permissible Yom Kippur, since in his opinion it's Asur for all Jews to Melacha on the second day. Now, it's interesting that B'diavad, once it's done, it's actually, the Tzitz Eliezer himself says you could be lenient, but since the whole Isur of enjoying something after Shabbat is, of Yom Kippur, is a Knas Midrabanan, it's a penalty, rabbinic penalty, and since there are those who permit it to do that Melacha on the second day of Yom Kippur, which is what we all follow, Therefore, b'diavad, you can eat it. So we don't follow necessarily this Magen Avraham, but you see this idea, you certainly can't ask him to do it. So it's a good ra'aya to the Tzitz Eliezer. And Tzitz Eliezer said, no, you can't compare at all the permission to ask someone who is not accepted Shabbat to turn on the light by someone who has already accepted Shabbat. Can't compare it all together. Why? Because we're talking about the one who was accepted Shabbat. It was a discretionary act, and it was something that was its own. The action itself is not a sur. It's like an isur gavra. It's just a personal prohibition that he's accepted upon himself, and it's a lighter level of prohibition, and therefore he can ask somebody else to do the malacha. It's because by the definition, he accepted the Shabbat as something personal and not something that is of a much broader scope. However, when one follows the rulings of Maran Shulchan Aruch, that you cannot heat up, can't warm up soup on Shabbat, if it's cooled down completely, according to Ashkenazim, or it's less than Yatzaletipo, according to the Sfaradim, so you've accepted that as a certainty. You accepted the rulings of Maran Bet Yosef, the rulings of Rav Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore you're not allowed to ask the Teimani to follow the Rambam to heat it up for you. And we find that Rav Moshe Feinstein similarly rules that in Orach Chaim Siman Chelak Aleph Siman Ayin Gimel, he says forbidden for a Ben Chutz Laaretz who happens to be in Eretz Yisrael and Yom Tov Sheni, because you can't ask the American who was in Yerushalayim on the second day of Sukkot. He's observing the second day of Sukkot. He cannot ask an Israeli to do malacha for him. Mm. Now, not everybody agrees with that ruling of the Igrot Moshe, but this is two very important Ashkenazi achronim that's central 20th century poskim, the Tzitz Eliezer and the Igrot Moshe, are against Rav Masas. And, you know, you look at the reasons for Amira La'akum, that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do Malachan Shabbat. It would be similar to the situation. The Rambam gives a reason. Shlotei Shabbat kala b'nehem. Shabbat should not be lenient in your eyes. It should not become degraded. You come to do the Malachah yourself. Rashi, in Avodah Zarah Tedvav, writes, because it's Mim Sochev Tzachav Adaber Davar, that this speaking about the Malacha is Asur, or Rashi and Shabbat and Kufnin Gimel and Avodah Zarah Chaf Berem and Aleph, because the Goy is considered to be Shlucho Shel Yisrael, as the Goy is considered to be the Shliach, certainly the Jew is the Shliach, and Shlucho Shetam Klamato, it's as if you did the Malacha yourself, certainly for another Jew. All these reasons would point in the direction of the Tzitz Eliezer and the Igrot Moshe, that it is forbidden for something that's asur for Ashkenazi to ask the Sfaradi to do it, and vice versa, Sfaradi to Ashkenazi, these things would appear to be asur. Now, what is the ruling of Chacham Avadya? So that's, of course, for Sfaradim, that's going to be of utmost interest. So Rav Avadya, so here in this article in Tchumin Mem Al, of course Rav Avadya and Chazon Avadya, Chet Shabbat, Chelek Dalet, page Shin Tzadi Zayin, that Rav Avadya quotes typically, not shocking at all, he quotes opinions in either direction, and he says, "B'makom tzorach, in case of great need, that you could that this is permissible, and only in case of great need." And this is the way that this article in Tchumin concludes, that it's just not a good policy to ask another Jew to do malacha. It's a zilzul in the minhagim. You're not going to be able to keep the minhagim if this is what you're going to do, and it's just it's a bad policy, bad idea. Okay, so I get that it doesn't make it does make sense. Even if something's technically permissible, if it's a bad policy, it's not a good idea to do this. We find this in a very interesting Gemara at the end of Masechet Sanhedrin, that it's not a good idea to do things that gives you an example there of it's technically mutar, but it's a very, very bad policy, and therefore we don't permit it, and this makes sense as well, except he concludes here, makom tzorach, in case of great need. Now, and that's what he assumes. This young man in the kolel for Dayanud in Male Adumim, this is the way he concludes. I'm not completely convinced of this. If you look in Yalkut Yosef, look what he writes here. This is Siman Shin Yudchet. This is Sif Katan Nuntet. So he says, the Sfaradi should not ask. He rules totally against what Rav Masah says, and exactly like the Tzitz Eliezer and Negrot Moshe. The Sfaradi should not ask the Ashkenazi to return the soup back on the put on the plata on Shabbat, as long as it's no longer Yad Soledet Bo. Once the Sfaradi has to follow Maran Shulchan Aruch, it's not permissible for him. Shouldn't be lenient for him to tell somebody else do something that for him is completely asur. He just writes, if Ashkenazi did it, even if he did it for the Sfaradi, then already the Sfaradi can have hana'ah, can actually have that soup. They're not supposed to tell him to do that, and so you see that it seems that the Yaku Yosef is presenting the opinion of Rav Avadya, not like Makom Tzorach is permissible. Even here, he doesn't give an exception. It's Makom Tzorach, in case of great need, it's going to be permissible. He just says straight out that it's asur. Plain, doesn't make any exceptions of Makom Asur, not Makom Asur, and I think this is generally the practice. I never heard of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim that say, oh yeah, just ask the Temani to put up the soup. Now, it's one thing, you're at Temani's house, and the Temani will make his soup to you Shabbat afternoon. You can have it because he certainly the sur of Maaseh Shabbat, the sur, as we've mentioned before, from the Tzitz Eliezer, the Mishabara rules this way, Yosef rules this way. Something was the holy sur of Maaseh Shabbat is only Drabanan, and when some permit this action, it will be permitted even for someone who's normally machmir about this issue, even if someone normally strict about this issue, because of a rule, safek drabanan lekula, that one can be lenient about doubtful matters regarding a rabbinic prohibition. And therefore, there's certainly room to be lenient b'diavad. But to actually do this, to actually ask Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, ask Temani to heat up the soup on Shabbat, even if it's technically mutar, I don't think it's permissible. Even Rav Masas, who permits, in that rare case where the soup is less than Yatsa Ledipo, but it's not completely Nitzanen Legamre, a rare situation like that, okay, I hear, but this is in a broader category, broader situation like that, I don't think it's such a good idea. Now, this is only something that's Isur Gamur. What if something you're just accepting as a Chumrah, such as not to rely on an Eruv, or not to, or Rabbeinu Tam, keeping a Rabbeinu Tam for Shabbat, That's already a different story, and that's for a subject book of a different shiur. But let's say for now that if something is forbidden for one Jew to do, for an Ashkenazi Sephardi Tamani to do, they should not ask a member of another Eidah to do that melacha for them. Wishing everybody a great week with much bracha and much briyut.